Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Shift Church from All Saints Wellington. For those of you who are just coming onto the stream on Facebook, it's great to have you with us. Those who are listening to this as a podcast or catching up on Facebook or YouTube later, good to have you with us as well. My name is Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Church Wellington and St Catherine's Eton. And I've got a few folk with me this evening that are going to be part of the conversation on the screen. Do join in the conversation in the comment stream on Facebook if you're with us live, or by email tim@allsaints-wellington.org if you're watching or catching up later on podcast or Facebook or YouTube. So who have we got with us this evening? We've got Emmy. Say good evening, Emmy.
Hi everybody at home and on the podcast. I'm sorry if I'm looking down. I'm trying to get logged into the live stream so I can hopefully see you all when you say hi to me too and the rest of the team.
Well, we'll leave you to that. We'll do our other hellos. Who else have we got? We've got Sean.
Thank you.
Hello, and I'm apologise because I'm not actually supposed to be here, but I've gate crashed. So thank you for having me.
No, that's all right. I wasn't going to own up. I was just going to pretend it was just like business as usual. But you're very, very honest there, Sean. Very good.
Thank you.
And we've got Lynn as well.
Hello, everybody. More the merrier.
Pardon, what was that?
The more the merrier.
Oh, yeah. Well, until it gets too crowded. Exclusive club there. No, actually, probably after Easter, we're looking to expand the team who come on screen. So if you would like to be part of this, if you think you'd have some good things to say on the screen and you're not too camera shy, drop us an email, put a comment on, and we can invite you on as well. That'd be lovely. Who have we got? Have we got people logging in, Emmy? Or you're still trying to log in?
I'm still having a few issues, but give me
that's right.
Wait a minute, we have got a few comments. I can see a few comments. Hopefully I can see them.
You can even hear me 2 minutes ago.
I know. Give me a minute. So
that's right. We'll give you a minute. Just before we were coming on air, we were talking about something that a few of us had seen this week of a farm in Lancashire, which, having lost some income through COVID and that.
I'm still trying to log in.
I'm still having a few issues. But,
We've got the sound back on again. Oh, no.
It's not me.
It's not you.
Not
okay.
Me. Yeah. Might have been me.
Might have been you, Lynn. Oh, excellent. Good. Anyway, we were talking about this farm up in Lancashire, and to try and supplement their income in COVID, had launched this scheme where you can book a goat to come onto your Zoom meeting for £5 a meeting. And we were thinking that was tremendous value. And we were discussing whether we should have a goat guest, a special guest to Shift Church, and whether that really would be more the merrier or that would just be confusing. So, welcome your thoughts on should we have a goat come to visit on Shift Church? And if we did, I've just thought this, if we did, what Bible story should we go with having a goat on Shift Church? But the Baron, it's been a roaring success. They've made 50 grand, which they're putting towards their upgrading of all their renewable technology, solar things and wind turbines and stuff for the farm. So it's really good. Google goats on Zoom and see what you can find out. And let us know whether you think it'd be a good idea or a distraction to have goats visiting us at Shift Church.
Well, I'm thinking that Junior Church can probably get on board with this, and we'll have all kinds of guinea pigs and gerbils and whatnot.
Yeah,
guinea pigs don't say much. At least goats. No. Yeah, I'll tell
you. They make noises.
I'll tell you what, though, it's not a bad idea for one of our for Explore or one of our family congregations, because I know kids don't really like Zoom. But if you promised them a goat. What do you reckon, Emmy? Would Hannah be more likely to watch something that involved a goat than not?
Possibly. I think the novelty of it would wear off quickly, though.
Yeah, you probably
would be my only thought. So, whether we'd have to rotate in a Zoom meeting, maybe, which animal it was, I don't know. You can do that, can't you? They can join small groups, whether that would help.
She's thought this through.
Well, she's thinking this through.
I definitely am.
I got some
comments. Got a hello from Liz. Hi, Liz Carter. Sim says he's a bit late. What on earth have I missed? So Lots of praise for the goat. Hi to Sarah and Elizabeth and David, Sandra. Oh, there's lots of people online. Charlotte's there, Ali's there. So obviously logging in 10 minutes late, there's lots of hellos to everyone online. So thank you for joining us.
Fantastic. And yeah. The great thing about this is, of course, is if you have missed the first chunk and you wondered, I wonder what I missed, guess what you can do? You can go back later and watch it or listen to it on the podcast, on iTunes, Spotify, or whatever your favourite podcasty thing is.
Yeah. I listened to the podcast on the way to work this week because I missed it last week. So I had it on while I was driving, safely, of course. But I find it quite nice to listen to that way. So. Yeah.
And what podcast software app do you use?
I tend to use the website, actually. Okay. Whether that's the most efficient way, I'm sure somebody can advise me on that, because I do have Spotify as well, but I tend to use the just go to our webpage, if that makes sense, and do it from there. I very much enjoyed Nick's one as well this week. Not that it's a competition.
Right. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later, because Nick's actually preaching for us for this evening, so we can plug the call at the same time. So Nick is our guest speaker this evening, and he's going to be helping us think about risk-taking faith, and that's our kind of theme for this evening. But as we kind of head on, just a moment to take a breath, as we usually do at the beginning of Shift Church, to just breathe, whether we're out walking the dog, at work, or if we're with us live tonight, just to put aside some of the busyness of the day and just to be aware of being in God's presence. And this evening we've got a bit of music, actually. Some old friends of All Saints, Dan and Mutza James, have over the last couple of months been working on some new songs, and this is a new song of theirs. So we're going to listen to this, and there's some visuals of those as well for those of us who are watching. So let me see if I can make this work. Just in case you're wondering, I have asked permission, Dan's given us permission to share this. If you like it, search for it on Facebook or YouTube. I'm sure you'll find it. It's called Here in the Fire.
This day has been so long. I was tired, I was lost, I was in the grave. When everything is so wrong, we're tired, feeling here in the grave, but I know you are with me. Here in the fire, here in the worst of it, here when nobody is, you understand. Oh,
Oh, we've lost Emmy. Emmy's not going to make it back. I'm sure she will eventually.
Sorry, I am here.
Oh, she is here.
Hi.
That's all right. So, yeah, that's Here in the Fire by Dan and Melissa James. And just with everything going on at the moment, I just felt that sense of actually God's in it with us. Nothing's in vain. He's here with us. It was a good one to go into this evening's thinking with. And actually, it also fits really nicely with our first Bible reading, which I think, who's reading Daniel for us?
Me.
Go on then.
Okay, so I'm reading from Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. And just while you're looking for Daniel, it's obviously in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, but towards the end of it. It'll just set the scene for you a little bit. So it's about Daniel and the Jews that are living in a foreign land. There is a king called Nebuchadnezzar, who isn't a Jewish king, obviously. And he's erected this massive gold statue to himself, is troubled massively by nightmares as well, which Daniel helps to interpret. So Daniel becomes one of his favourites, and Daniel's not particularly liked by the other people there. And one of the things that the other people try and do is get King Nebuchadnezzar, who built this massive statue, so he wants everybody to bow down and worship to it. And in some way, I guess that'll help with his nightmares and the dreams and the prophecies that come out of the dreams that Daniel helps to interpret. So we kind of join the story where he's got this big statue, he's asked all his people to bow down and worship to it. But of course, Daniel, the other Jews, and particularly the ones that Daniel's appointed to help him in this role in government, aren't going to do this. So this is where we sort of join it. And there are three characters which you're going to have fun. I'm going to have a lot of fun pronouncing the names now. So forgive me if I get them wrong. So you'll discover them as I read in the first lion who they are. But basically, they're the Jewish they're the Jewish helpers of Daniel. So that's the reason they're not doing the worshipping for Nebuchadnezzar. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego he brought before him. They were brought in, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my God or worship the gold statue I've set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up."
There you go. And actually, if you read on in the services, in the story, you'll find out that they do get thrown into the furnace, and it's so hot that the soldiers who threw them in get burned up. But then Nebuchadnezzar looks into the furnace and he sees not three people, but four walking around in the middle of the fire. And the fourth one is the angel of God come to walk with them in the fire. And then they walk out of it unburnt. So there you go. Really great stories in the beginning of Daniel. Our second Bible reading this evening. Who's reading from Matthew? Is that you, Lynn?
That's me, yeah. The second reading is from Matthew, chapter 16, starting at verse 24, going through to 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen.
Thank you. Hey, so I wonder what they might have to say to us about risk-taking faith. Well, we're about to find out, or at least find out what Nick thinks they might say to us. We'll have a chat about it after this next video.
Good morning. Let's pray before we get started. So, Lord, just thank you for your word. And will you speak to us this morning through your word? And will you form us together by your word? Amen. Amen. So we're continuing our sermon series that looks at one of our core values, which is exploring. And this morning we'll be focusing on risk-taking and how taking risks is part of our God-given DNA. Now, the Bible is just packed full of stories of heroic people risking everything for their faith. And I especially like how the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, how he describes like several of these people. And he tells these stories like about Abraham, for example, and how Abraham risked his life by leaving everything behind to pursue the promises of God. So he sought after the promised land, and he gave up, risked everything to pursue that promise that he and Sarah would have a son, and that promise that through him, God would make a great nation. And he risked everything. He even risked losing out on God's promises when he was told by God to sacrifice a son. And Abraham was willing to go through with it until God stopped him. And then the writer goes on to mention about Moses. But he begins with the faith of Moses' parents, who they weren't afraid of Pharaoh's edict to have all Hebrew baby boys killed. So they hid him at first, but then they let him go downstream in faith that God would protect him. And he does. And Moses was found, raised in Pharaoh's courts, where he would one day risk everything by rejecting Pharaoh. And he stood in defense of the Hebrews. And then in that chapter, the list goes on and on. And even the writer of Hebrews says in 11:32, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets." I mean, we love these stories of heroic leaders who will risk everything for what they believe in. And it appears that God loves these stories too, because there's so much of the Bible just made up of them. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's story from this morning's reading. And that doesn't even make the cut in Hebrews, because there are too many to mention without losing the audience's attention, like I probably have already. But heroic leaders are great. And I'm so thankful that throughout human history, God has been able to raise them up when they were needed. Even like the more modern ones, I would say like Martin Luther King. Just a few days ago was Martin Luther King Day in America, because he's another one of those iconic heroic leaders who risked everything for what he believed, for what he believed in, and the world's better off because of it. I mean, heroic leaders, they make for great stories, and they were needed at particular points in history to either take down kingdoms or to shift a society's way of thinking. But I, for one, am glad that I'm not an heroic leader. Heroic leaders that make up our history books and a lot of the Bible only make up just this microscopic portion when compared to the rest of us. They're kind of a once in a generation sort of thing. And I don't ever really want to be put in that position where I would have to choose between what I believe in or giving up one of my kids or my life. So God, please don't make me out to be a hero. But all of that risk-taking stuff is in our DNA as the body of Christ. It's part of this new creation that we've been called into. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So, of course, we're all familiar with the story of Jesus. I mean, as a church, I would hope so. But he is the true heroic leader. All of these other leaders we've talked about to this point were formed by him, and they all point to him. And Jesus did roam this earth as 100% human. And we don't tend to think of the humanness of Jesus quite as much as we should. Because yes, he is fully God, and the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him. But he was also very much fully human. And when the nails were driven through his hands, it hurt. And when the crown of thorns was forced on his head, it stung. And when he was made a mockery, and the ones he loved rejected and abandoned him, it was heartbreaking. Through Jesus, the fullness of God came in flesh and experienced about everything there is to experience of the human condition. Our deepest fears, pains, and heartbreaks, as well as our purest joys. But Jesus put himself through all of that out of his love and trust in God the Father. He did it out of his obedience and trust that God the Father would bring about something better through his sacrifice. Like in John 14, Jesus said, but I do as the Father has commanded me. And in John 8, he said, and he who has sent me is with me, and he's not left me alone, for I will always do the things that are pleasing to him. And then again in John 14, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So the fullness of God, which is Jesus, came to us so that we can go to him. And Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, we don't take risks without trusting that something else will bring about a better outcome. So we will be willing to give something up that's valuable to us and trust that something better or more valuable will come along. So our something else that we are trusting in to bring about something better is our faith in who Jesus is and his call to take up our cross and follow him. Now, a leader is one who clears the way for others to follow. And now the last thing that Jesus told his followers were, he said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. As Christians, we've been called to bet everything on Jesus. Now, Jesus explains to his disciples what taking up our cross means and looks like when he says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, we believe that the best thing that we can do for ourselves, for all of humanity, for all of creation, is to obey the commands of Jesus, trusting that he is bringing about something better. Remember what the Great Commission says. Make disciples and teach them to obey all that I have commanded. Now, we usually kind of like to skim over that part, I think. We like the make disciples and baptizing them, and really like that he's with us until the end of the age. But these aren't words that we like to hear in this day and age, that Jesus expects us to obey his commands. This freedom of choice is a huge thing in our society. That's something that we really value. We've put a very unhealthy amount of value on our personal freedom of choice. But following Jesus isn't about becoming a better, happier version of yourself. Jesus isn't a means to our end. And that's what a culture that values choice too heavily has trained us to look for. Following Jesus means trusting that if we would just quit living like that, stop pursuing our own happiness above all else, and start doing the things that Jesus has told us to do, then we would begin to see God's kingdom here on earth, and so will others. God loves us and all of creation a whole lot more and better than we ever could. He loves us so much that he risked losing his beloved son, trusting that it would bring about something better for all. Like that, the temptation in the wilderness, it was no joke. It could have all gone horribly wrong right there. But Jesus' love and trust in the Father is the thing that saves us. I've often said that the one who gets the most out of a sermon is the one who preaches it. And I'm sure that's the case with this one. Because I wish all of you could go through the process of putting a sermon together. This one was a particularly hard one for me. And it's one of those that I think I need to go away and think and pray through this more, because I never quite realized just how much God risked for our sake. And I've never fully considered the extent of the humanness of Jesus, and that this is the image that we have been called to bear as the body of Christ. That God in the flesh, the image of a God that is willing to sacrifice what he loves the most and hope that it will bring about something better for all. So let's just close in prayer. So Lord, will you please teach us more about the sacrifices that you've made for us, the risks that you've taken. And will you please expose those areas in our lives that we are placing our trust, where we're valuing more than you in belief that they will provide a better outcome. But thank you that you are a God that takes extraordinary risks for our sake. And please give us the boldness to do the same for others. Amen.
Oh, so we're going to have a bit of a conversation about that, some reflections on that and on the Bible readings. If you want to join in the conversation, please do on the comments stream, and we'll be keeping an eye out for that. And if you're catching up later on podcast or Facebook or YouTube, email in if you've got questions or things you'd like to say, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll include them next week. So, initial thoughts, reactions? Questions?
I think it's definitely one to listen to twice, because I listened to it on Sunday and different things came up for me this time on Sunday and again today when it was talking about risk takers. I thought of the Old Testament prophets, in particular Jeremiah, because he has a bit of a rant in Jeremiah 20. He said, Lord, you deceived me and I was deceived, and he talks about the fact that he can't keep in the words that God's telling him to say. He's got to tell them. But he says, I'm weary of holding it in, but they're whispering terror on every side. Report him, let's report him. And he's not an easy task. He's told to do things like lie down in the dust for 3 days at a time, and he's sort of ridiculed and mocked
and stuck in a well for days on a time as well, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. It's not an easy life, and I can understand why he didn't want to do it. And I read somewhere he was doing that for 33 years.
That's crazy.
I know, quite. I wouldn't stick it for 3 days. But yes, this is the level of risk-taking that I think sort of is it we're talking about.
Yeah.
Where it says, you know, you've got to give up your life to get it back in the Matthew reading. And it is that graphic sort of thing. I looked at it in a few versions before I decided on reading the NIV one. I think that tells it the plainest, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about you, Sean? Any immediate thoughts or reactions?
Well, it reminded me of when I first became a Christian many years ago, and I was very enthusiastic about my faith, a lot more than I am now. And I got invited to be involved with a project called Youth for Christ. And it was shortly after I'd become a Christian. And what they did was we had this double-decker bus that was turned into a non-alcoholic cocktail bar, basically. And it looked really cool and fancy. And the lady that was in charge of this organization said to me, after a short while, I'd like you to be one of the leaders. So I said, yeah, okay, I'd love to do that. And we're now going to be going to an area which you might be familiar with. And I said, oh, right, okay, where's that? And it was where I lived. And basically, it was going into an area that was full of glue sniffers, drug addicts, you name it. And it was really quite scary because basically it was a risk going into there because the area was quite intense. And I just felt God saying, look, this is a challenge for you. You know, this is really what being a Christian is all about. It's about taking a risk, going somewhere where I'm telling you to go and stepping out in faith. And it really was, you know, it was very scary every night, you know, packing up, you know, in the dark and all that. And yeah, I just remember it was something that's lived with me forever, really, because it was a very scary time, but also very, very nice in terms of stretching the limits of my faith, really, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Emmy?
I mean, risk takers. In my youth, I was very risky. I travelled, I did all this stuff. Now I'm a mom, I have a house, I have responsibilities, I have a mortgage to pay. You know, the idea of taking risks, I just don't have the energy for it, I'll be honest with you. So my question is, how easy is this, really? Let's be honest. You know, it's a really difficult thing, I think. And Sean made the point of, like, quite often when you're a new Christian, you get emboldened, if that makes sense, and you want to share what you've experienced. And I really do think that that is because new Christians are often so full of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And I think sometimes, like me, 20 years on, 30 years on, I forget that, if that makes sense. And I certainly, it's not that I don't take risks anymore, because I certainly do for my faith. But I do think that maybe they're not that have to pack up everything and go sort of risks. And I do have friends who have been in my situation who have recently done that. I have a friend that's actually moved abroad in the last 3 months to go with her family, with her children. It's just crazy. And that's what God's called her to do, and that's fantastic, you know. I think you really are blessed by the Holy Spirit, and that you do it under His strength, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I think, you know, if God, the risks can be very different for different people, is what I'd say. And that whole idea is really scary. I'll admit it. I'm terrified of it. So yeah,
perhaps the thing that when you've got God underwriting your risk, it's not really risky, is it? It just feels very risky.
Yeah.
You kind of see what I mean? And it might look risky from the outside, but actually, if you're convinced that God's got your back, then it's not that risky. And no. I guess there is some wisdom, particularly if you're planning to do something which looks very risky from the outside, of kind of making kind of checking out with other people, am I hearing God right on this? But if you're convinced of that, and you've prayed it through with good Christian friends, and it all seems pointing in the right direction, then actually it feels very risky. It might look risky, but is it risky? And I think I was thinking about I think one of the things we can be afraid of is the fear of failure. And actually, I think trying stuff's really important. And if it works, it works. If it fails, it fails. But actually stepping out and trying stuff in the Christian faith is really important. Have we got anything coming in on the comments on the stream, Emmy? Any questions?
Sarah said pretty much what, similar to what you've said, I think. It says, I like that Nick reiterates that Jesus, about the Son of God, was fully human. I think that sometimes we forget that. He fully understands every element of us. The big message to share for me from that is everyone should stop living from themselves and live for God. Mm-hmm. So she's come back to that message that really it's about putting him in the centre of your life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think, what he asks us to do grows from that place, doesn't it? That's what we know is. As Christians, it grows. It starts with putting him at the centre, and then it grows from that. So, yeah.
I think as well, if you've got, hopefully, if you've got Jesus in the centre of your life, you sort of apply the principles of that to the whole of your life, and then it's not like a sacrifice or risk in that I've got to give up this to have this. It's let's look at my life and let's see if I can focus it on Jesus. Do I really need that holiday abroad? Do I really need a new winter coat? Or can I give this one to this homeless person? Do I really need the holiday abroad? Is it better spending the money on something else? You know, it's small things and asking yourself the principle behind it. You know, is it, you know, just buy for the sake of it, which in our society is what it's a lot of the society, an ungodly society, is focused on, to be honest. You know, the economy is God.
I think as well there's a lot of self-help stuff out there, and you know, particularly for you know, younger people, there's a lot of self-help and self-influences, you know, what do they call them? Social influences now. Sort of, you know, can show you how to live this wonderful life, if that makes sense. And Christ really comes down to the heart of it. We want him at the heart of that. And he is our social influencer, if that makes sense. As a Christian, that's what we're aiming to achieve, I guess. Yeah.
That's not so much self-help as peer pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the message, I don't know if you looked at the message versions when you were looking at versions.
I did.
I really like the message version in verse 24 and 25.
I thought it was a bit too brutal.
Yeah, it is. It says, follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no self at all. Self-sacrifice is my way to finding yourself and true self.
Self-help is no help at all.
Self-help is no self at all, help at all. Self-sacrifice is my way, is the way, my way to finding yourself, true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you trade your soul for? So the idea is that, and that before then it talks about putting Christ in the driver's seat of your life. So that's the idea. You're putting Christ in the driver's seat. You're giving it over to him rather than trying to drive it yourself. So, yeah.
Yeah, I did read that one and considered it.
Was it John Stott that coined that phrase, faith is spelled R-A-S-K? Is it John Stott? I can't remember.
I don't know, but I've heard it before.
Yeah, I've heard it before. And it is an interesting way of looking at it because, you know, when I in the past spoke to a lot of people about becoming a Christian and a lot of the time people can't do it. They see it's too much of a big risk. As Lynn said, you know, they can't give up certain things, you know, and they can't, you know, to them it's about living a life that is about, you know, having nothing or, you know, it's really hard to comprehend, you know, once you've become a Christian and you've committed your life to God, and then when you're talking to someone about it and then they say they can't do it because it's too much of a risk, it's really hard to swallow, I find, because I just think, well, you know, it is taking a leap of faith, isn't it? Because that's what being a Christian is about. It's about a leap of faith, trusting in something, as it says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you didn't see. You know, you can't see God, you can't touch him, but you know he's there, and it's taking that leap of faith and believing in something that is real. I've been made really sad times when I've spoken to people about it and about becoming a Christian, and they just can't do it. They can't take that leap of faith. They can't take the risk, and it's really made me sad on occasions.
Mm. Well, we talked a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, about the rich young ruler and the open hands and the closed hands, and what letting go and not wanting to let go of what you hold on to tightly, and that's all kind of connected together. We've got a bit more video now, which is the story of a family. I don't know, was it Rachel you were talking about, Emmy, when you were talking about someone who's moved abroad?
No, it wasn't.
This is the McNamara family. Not Heather. Rachel grew up in All Saints, and her and her husband have now gone out to Kenya in the middle of a COVID pandemic with their two lads. And this is a video, a bit of an update of their situation. It's going to take me a little minute just to open it up. So I'm going to keep talking. If I can find it, here we go. No, that's not it.
I'll tell you what, I'll read some of the comments while you're doing it.
Oh, you
it.
Do that. That's good.
Liz has told a really good part of Liz Carter has told a little bit about her parents' story and the risks they took as she was a child, being leaders in the church and going to a really tough area. And that God really did protect them and look after them during that situation. And I think there's a lot of encouraging comments from other Christians. You know, God wouldn't ask us to do something that we can't do. Ali says, I think if God calls us to take a risk, he will equip us for it. And I really agree with that. I think that's very true.
Great stuff. Thank you. Right. Yes, I found this video now. So we're going to... No, it's disappeared. Don't you love computers?
Hello, All Saints Church. We are the Mac.
Right. Genuinely, it's going to work now, isn't it?
Everybody. I hope so.
Yes.
Let's pray. Yes, there we go.
Yay.
Hello, All Saints Church. We are the McNamara family. We've been in Kenya for nearly 3 months now and are settling into life here well.
Our journey didn't start as we'd planned. We each required a negative COVID test to fly, so we did home tests and posted them off 4 days before our departure. But when our tests still hadn't arrived back the day we were due to head to the airport hotel, we started to worry a little bit and called upon a number of people to pray with us that they would arrive in time. We received 3 out of 4 negative tests back a few hours before we were due to head to the hotel. So we left with 12 cases of luggage and headed over to Heathrow in faith that the 4th test would arrive. We stayed at the airport overnight, expecting the test to be with us by the morning. However, we still didn't have it. But full of faith that it would arrive in time, we headed to the airport, and having spoken to members of staff, waited and waited and waited until the last possible point to check in.
Now, I'm sure you're expecting us to say that it arrived in time and we made the flight. However, it didn't. The final negative COVID test came back on our way back to London, returning from Heathrow with our 12 cases of luggage. Although initially we were disappointed and confused, over the next 24 hours we could see God's faithfulness and were filled with hope for what was to come. The finances for another 4 COVID tests, which came back the following day, were completely covered, and the love and support we received from so many people helped us realise we weren't on this journey alone. As we flew off 4 days later, we were able to recognise that we were just one part of a much bigger puzzle.
Change often brings risk with it. For me, leaving my secure job as a deputy head teacher in London and moving to a voluntary role at Cornerstone Preparatory Academy in rural Kenya is a faith risk.
And for me, taking the boys out of school and away from all that was familiar didn't make sense to most people. It was a faith risk.
As 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 reminds us, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. We know that as I work with the senior leadership team of the school to implement changes, and Rachel works to find and communicate with child sponsors, that we may not see the fruit for many years to come, but we trust that these students will receive an education that allows them to seek a path out of poverty, and by faith we will keep going, knowing that God has got a job for us to do here.
Thank you, All Saints, for your continued support and your prayers. We are so grateful to have you on this journey with us. Hello, All Saints Church.
So, quite a story there.
Wow,
indeed. And my parents took a similar risk. So I grew up in East Africa. I grew up the first 7 years of my life in Tanzania because my mum and dad were mission partners, not in a COVID pandemic, but didn't do me any harm. In fact, I think he gave me some really good foundation.
He says this. Have you met him?
Really good foundation.
I'm only joking.
Yeah. Living for Jesus. So
yeah.
We're going to have a bit of music now to lead us into prayer. And I've got to find another bit of video, but that'll be fine. It'll work this time. And then I think Sean's going to lead us in some prayer. So that'll
be. I am, yes.
Yeah, here we go then. Yeah. Here we go.
How are we getting on, Tim?
We're doing fine.
We're there.
I need more than enough.
Over to you, Sean.
Right. I thought we could pray about the word, around the word risk, which obviously is what we've been talking about tonight, and use that as a framework for our prayer. So each letter obviously will be what we're praying about. So the first letter is I've chosen is read, and obviously about reading the Bible and how important it is to read the Bible, because that's how we get to know what God wants us to do. So let's pray around the word reading the Bible.
Father God, we thank you for those examples that Nick highlighted for us, of all those heroes of faith, of folk who stepped out, and we can read their stories and learn from them and be inspired by them. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I thank you, Lord, that when I first became a Christian, it was through reading the Bible with my minister. And it was that was how I discovered the love for you that I have, Lord, through reading the Bible and understanding who you were and what I meant to you, Lord. Just thank you for that.
Lord, I just thank you for, as someone who's not a big reader, who struggles with reading, that the Bible is so accessible now, so that I can read your word in a way that I might not have been able to. You know, I can hear it on audiobooks, or I can read it on my yellow paper or on my Kindle. So I just thank you that your word is so accessible and available to anybody who wants to read it.
I thank you, Lord, that the first step I took, I suppose, on the road to faith was because somebody challenged me to read the Gospels, and I did. And that, I suppose, was my first step on the road. And I pray that if you're listening to this and you're not a believer, you would read the Gospels, or even just one of them, all the way through as a challenge. Will change your life. Amen.
Amen.
And the second letter is I, for imagination, and imagining what God wants you to do. What does God want us to step out in faith to do? What is that thing that he wants us to do? Imagining that, thinking about it.
Lord, I thank you that we are made in your image, and that makes us creative beings. So I pray that you will fire our imagination with your spirit, so that you will give us your vision of where we should be stepping out in faith.
I pray, Lord, for imagination and innovation. Give us the imagination to just let go of all the structures that surround us, that have kept us channeled in moving one way, believing one way, acting one way. Let go of them all, and let us take a sort of 360 degree look around at the world as it is now, at people as they are now in society, and ask you, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? What are you calling me to do? Amen.
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 And the letter S for silence. Being silent before God, listening to him, making time for him, so that we can hear what he wants to say to us. Father, we spend a lot of our time thinking about things and not listening. And I pray that you would give us opportunities to be silent before you so that we can hear what you want to say, Lord. We all have busy lives, Lord, so much going on, our families, our work. And Lord, yet we often don't have enough time to be silent and quiet, opening, being open to you. And I just pray that each one of us that is listening and part of the team, Lord, we would be able to have that time to be silent, to be able to listen to what you want to say. Amen.
Lord, I just pray that we open our ears to you now, Lord. Amen.
And the last letter, which is K for kindness, because the Bible says that the Lord, that God was kind to us. He sent his son to die for us, that we would learn to be kind, to know what it is to be kind, Lord, to those that we meet, to ourselves and to others.
Yeah, help us to hold on to that concept of you being kind, Father. That you don't call us to step out in faith or to do things that are risky because you're cruel or capricious or you're doing experiments on us. But that you work all things for the good of those who love you, and we can trust you, and that you are kind. Your loving kindness is trustworthy. And what might look like risk to us or other people, if we step out trusting in your loving kindness, we will find it. Thank you for that assurance, Father. Amen.
Amen.
I'll just pick out another K, and I'll pray that we will keep on keeping on. Because sometimes what we're called to do, a vocation, requires persistence. And we've all heard of the story of the widow, persistent widow who kept on knocking at the door. Sometimes the jobs we're called to do, they're not immediate. We won't see any visible difference immediately. But the quiet word, the kind act, is spreading the seeds of your faith, Lord. Help us to remember that every kind act that we do, reflected in your glory, is sowing a seed of your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you, Sean. That's been really good. Are there any particular prayer requests on the stream that we should pick up, Emmy? Or folk praying for each other generally?
There's just a prayer for somebody who wants to make a prayer request for Sir Captain Tom Moore and his family. And actually, I'm just going to lift up anybody who's affected by COVID, and particularly who's had a death in the family with COVID in this pandemic. We just lift them up to you, Lord. It's so difficult grieving when you can't be with family members, or you can't express it in the way we normally would, or attend in the way we normally do. So we just lift those families that are grieving up to you, Lord, and pray that you would be their comforter. Amen.
Well, thank you all very much. It's been a good evening, real good exploration. If you've got comments or questions about that and you want to email them in, do. tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Next week, we are thinking about creativity. And actually, Emmy, in your prayer, when you pray we're creating God's image, therefore we're all creative. You've just, I wrote the sermon yesterday. You've nicked the first line of my sermon for next week.
Yeah. My prayers are never me led, they're always God led. That's what I would say. I try and make them God led.
Well done, Emmy. Excellent.
Obviously, knew your thoughts. He obviously was guiding your thoughts as well.
So, we've already had the first line of next week's reflection, exploration of the Bible readings and of the theme. So, we won't have to have it next week. Well, if you want to hear the rest of it, tune in next week, either live on Facebook, catch up on Facebook or YouTube or podcast. And if you've got anything that you want to put as comment in advance on the creativity, drop us a line and we'll include it. But we're going to say goodnight now. So goodnight from me. Say goodnight, Sean.
Goodnight, Sean.
Say goodnight, Lynn.
It's goodnight from Lynn.
And say goodnight, Emmy.
Goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight, everyone. Thank you for being with us. Goodnight and God bless. And stop the live stream.